Your Bibles to Revelation, please, chapter 5. Revelation chapter number 5. And we'll do our best to preach the message that God's laid on our heart. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Let's see here. For sake of time, let's just read one verse that'll give us the thought. And that's verse number 9 of Revelation 5. Verse number 9 of Revelation 5. And the Bible says, and they sung a new song, there you go, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God, listen now, by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. I'm thankful you say, well, I don't think we ought to support the gospel in other places. Well, the blood was shed for every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. I thought about Brother Townsend and my pastor, Brother McMillan, and they went, and Brother Fry, and they went and they established churches, and then they would establish, get those folks going, and God call a national, and they'd move on. And boy, if you ever want to hear good stories about missions, you need to go visit Miss Ann. Amen, someday. And the towns of these folks, that they can tell you some good stories about missions, and it'll excite your heart. To see what the Lord brought them through and what God did for them and how He supplied their needs and all of that. And then the missionary today that I heard that his house burnt down. Where was he at? Mongolia. Yeah, Mongolia. We need to find out some stuff about that. They're raising some money for him. And they were gone to help somebody, and they come back and their house was burning. And so y'all pray for them. Anybody remember their name? I'm sorry. They were the Kofers. Yeah. Jeremy Martin. Yes, sir. That's him. So let's really pray. Let's really pray for them that God help them. But anyway, that's not the message. But I don't know. We just plugged that in there. But if you notice that he's worthy because he redeemed us by his blood. Christ redeemed us by his blood. Not with blood of bulls and goats, turtle doves, and all those things, and lambs, but by his own blood. He's the lamb. Amen. The lamb. If you study the Old Testament, you'll find out they had a lamb, and then they had some lambs, but he's the lamb. And John the Baptist said, Behold the lamb. Behold the lamb. Behold the lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The other lambs couldn't take away the sin of the world. They atoned it till the next year. That's all it did. That's what atonement means. Folks, my sins wasn't just atoned. They were forgiven. They were forgotten. They're gone. Christ, the blood of Christ, did what those could not do. And he did it. If you study the book of Hebrews, his blood was shed once for all. Amen. Thank God that's powerful blood. Amen. But we want to talk about the blood of Christ. For a moment, I'll be honest with you, out of every message I might preach or subject, when I preach about the blood of Christ or something like that, I feel very inadequate because there's no angle to it. You just preach it. Right. You just remind folks about the blood. Right. Read the Bible about the blood. Amen. You can't come up with a good, beautiful, alliterated outline about the blood. Just preach it. Yeah, right. Amen. Just talk about it. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Amen. The blood of Christ cleanses us. That verse has been on my mind here lately. The blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. It's his blood. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Sin ruined it. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So we're thankful for that precious blood. But in the text, I pulled that verse. And of course, we know that Leviticus 17, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, so don't jump on me after service, but is it Luke 17? It says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Yes, I know it's Leviticus because that's Levitical laws, but that's true not only naturally but spiritually. Right. the life of our spiritual man is in the blood of Christ. You know, and it's amazing to me how the Lord created blood, natural blood, and it's something that man cannot duplicate. I continuously get texts from the blood bank or whatever it's called now over at North Grove, wanting O positive blood because they can't go to a lab and create it. God made sure of that. So we have to loan it out. Amen. And I don't know how many gallons of blood I've ever donated. I've been donating blood since about 1989. And I enjoyed doing it. I've donated plasma one time during COVID. That was a little different experience. A little longer, get cold. So I stick with giving blood. Amen. So many people aren't able to do that. If you've been out of the country, they won't let you do it. If you've had sickness, different things. But if you're able to do it, and you don't pass out at needles. I'm running a rabbit, but I'll be honest with you, I don't mind the needle. I mind that pricked finger. I want to cry when they prick my finger. They got to find out a different way to do that. But you got to break the flesh to get to the blood, don't you? Amen. Let me preach, y'all. Let me preach. Y'all hold me up. But in this text, now, Revelation 1 is the past, what Christ done. Revelation 2 and 3 is the present. We still in the church age. We're in the last one. I believe we're in Laodicea. We're neither hot nor cold, but the next thing is chapter 4 when he said, I heard that trumpet and been talking with me. He said, come up hither. See, the church relocates in chapter 4. And when you see the 24 elders, that's the believers. Now, I won't argue with you if it's just the church or old town. I believe it's everybody that's born again, that by faith has accepted Christ. So that's what's going on in chapter 4 and 5. And then the book shows up. In verse number 5, excuse me, chapter 5. Book showed up. What's that? I believe it's the title deed to the earth. That book in chapter 5 is the, hey, and no man, and it says book, but it's like a scroll. And it's sealed. It's a legal document. Like a legal document, it's sealed. And you have to have the right credentials to open it. And not one man on this earth had them credentials. And them 420 elders got upset. They said, hold it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. The Lamb can open it because it's His. It's His title deed to this earth. See, I mean, the presidents and kings say, oh, this is our kingdom. No, the Lord's letting you oversee it for a time, but He owns the world. He owns this earth. He has the title deed to this earth. He purchased it with His own blood. It's His. All things that were created was by Him and for Him. That's what the Word says, right? Amen. It's all His. Amen. And we're joined as with Christ. Amen. That's right. I'm not meddling, but me and my wife, we got married. I didn't have my stuff, and she didn't have her stuff. We had our stuff. That's right. Amen. Amen. We got our stuff. Well, I ain't sharing a bank account with my wife. She'll spend it all. Well... That's a different prayer to pray on a later date. And it could be vice versa. But anyway, we're joint heirs. He owns it all. The old preacher said, He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He owns the taters on it too. But He was worthy to open the books, the seal of the book. And they wept much. Because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to even look therein. I like it. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. John, don't weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Amen. So we find, in starting in verse number 7, we find a worship. He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders, I believe that's all of us, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps. We're going to get a harp. And golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Oh, my prayer ain't going nowhere. Yeah, it is. It's going to heaven. How God chooses to answer, yes, no, or wait. But your prayer, if you're a child of God washed in the blood, your prayer's going to heaven. Amen. They showing up here. Amen. Yeah. Amen. They showing up. And so they worshiping. That's what I just read to you is what true worship is. And they sung a new song. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine Brother Andrew singing a new song? Don't even have to practice it.
That's right.
Hey. Don't need no book.
That's right.
So sometimes it don't matter if I have a book in front of me. I sing what I please to sing. My mother sang in a quartet, and she'd have a verse to sing. She'd forget it. She was quick. She'd just make a whole new verse to that tune. She got skills. Thou worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The blood. He redeemed us to God by his blood. That's why, folks, don't anybody, I'm trying to get to these little points I got, anybody that tries to put the blood of Christ as man's, that's a cult. Anybody that, any religion, any group under the umbrella of religion that demotes Christ to just being a good man, that is a cult. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Christian Scientists, Seventh-day Adventists don't even accept Christ has come. They're cults. Some of y'all didn't like that. But Seventh-day Adventists do. Hey, it ain't just that they worship on Saturday. They still under the Old Testament economy, and they deny Christ as the Son of God. That's a cult. And I know a bunch of friendly Jehovah's Witnesses, a bunch of friendly Mormons, a bunch of friendly Seventh-day. I know a bunch of, hey, I'm not saying they're bad people, but man, they ain't seeing truth. Amen. It's going to cost their soul in hell forever. Anybody that rejects the blood of Christ in right, and they're cultish, they're cult. Now, believe it or not, this church has been called a cult a few times. I'm saying we can't be a cult. Biblically, we can't. You know, when you don't fit the mold of the world's church, then you're a cult. Oh yeah. If you ain't allowing open sin in the building, and if you're allowing worldliness and I'm not talking about saved people. I'm talking about members of the church. And I say that every time, but I want you to understand that, because you know, I've had people come to me and say, I'd like to visit your church, but I can't because you got this standard. I said, that ain't for you. That's for, if you joined, it'd be for you. And I said, when we started, we had a burden for that, to keep it biblical. And, but anyway, can't be a cult because we don't deny the deity of Christ, amen, that he's God incarnate. No way. They call us cults because we don't fit their mold. That's right. Of course, I wish the only thing I've ever been called in this church is a cult. We've been called some other names. That's right. You can't even say them silent in your closet. But it's amazing to me that crowd that does it, when they need something serious, they call this church. Your preacher, amen? Amen. That's right. But anyway, The blood. Now we understand the very reason. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. In other words, had Christ not shed his blood, there'd be no hope of salvation. We'd still be in our sin. Yeah. As a matter of fact, the whole gospel, death, burial, and resurrection. If you denounce any of that, there's no hope of salvation. Our preaching's vain. Our faith is vain.
You're right.
Amen. We have no hope without the blood of Christ.
Amen.
So sin separates, you know that. Sin brings about a sense of guilt, Romans 7. Sin provides Satan with grounds of accusation before God against us. Study Job. That's what Job was doing when he came before God. I mean, Satan, when he came before God in the book of Job, he was accusing the brethren. The Lord, I'm paraphrasing. The Lord asked him, he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to and fro. What are you doing? Finding fault, bringing it back to you, reporting it to you. Hey, can I go ahead and tell you something? Satan was the first gossip.
Amen.
Satan is the first guy. Why? He's spreading propaganda.
Amen.
Accusing the brethren. Aren't you glad for the response from the Lord? What sins are you talking about? He sees us through the veil of the blood of Christ.
Right.
Folks, you got to remember our position because of the blood.
Right.
We have a position. We're in Christ because of blood. We have power with God because of the blood of Christ. We can live righteously because of the blood of Christ. Folks, our whole being as Christians is because of the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm not going to argue the fact because there's nowhere in Scripture where he tells us to plead the blood of Jesus. It's not in there. But hey, I think I can. I mean, it's the blood that washed me away, washed my sins away. It's the blood that saves. And if I believe that Satan's on my trail, I can say, hey, in the name of Jesus, through the power of the blood of Jesus, get out of here. Not through my own, not through my own power. You can't handle that blood. But let me give you three quick things. First of all, the blood of Christ, the first thing the blood of Christ does, now get a hold of this, the first thing the blood of Christ does, it works Godward. What do you mean? The blood was shed primarily to satisfy God. Not just to save us, primarily, hey, Christ is the what? The propitiation. That's a good word. For our sins, not our sins only, but the sins of the whole world. Propitiate is where we get the word mercy seat. It say the blood of Christ satisfies God's demand upon our sin.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
It's the only thing that does. Adam and Eve, they tried to cover their sin with fig leaves, or could I say with works? They took labor, their own work, but it withered and their sin was exposed. But what did the Lord do? He took coats of skin, and the Bible said covered them. He shed blood. That's a picture of what's to come. So the blood was shed primarily to satisfy God. This was shown in the Day of Atonement. The blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat inside the Holies of Holies, away from the presence of the congregation. It was shown also in the Passover. The blood was shed on the doorpost and the lintel out of sight of the people who were inside the house eating the flesh of the Lamb. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And those that did not have the blood applied, the death angel come and kill them. All the firstborn. See, the blood of Christ works Godward first. Nothing else satisfies God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, what? To shed his blood.
Right.
To become sin for us.
Amen.
Who knew no sin. Mm-hmm. That we could be made righteous.
That's right.
That satisfies God. Folks, let me tell you something. The gifts that God gives us doesn't satisfy God when it comes to our salvation. If we use our gifts to the glory of God, it pleases him. But it doesn't satisfy him for our salvation.
No,
never has, never will. Now, you have a talent God's give you, and you use it for the glory of God. At the Bema seat, the judgment seat, you'll get a reward. And it pleases God. See, before we got saved, before the blood of Christ was applied to us, we couldn't please the Lord. It's impossible, man, to please the Lord in his flesh. You can't do it. If in our flesh dwells no good thing, so the only thing that satisfies God in our behalf is the blood of Christ.
Amen.
So it has to be, the blood has to be the Godward first. Get a hold of that.
Amen.
It satisfied him.
Right.
And if it satisfies him, it ought to satisfy us.
Amen.
It ought to satisfy us. If the blood of Christ satisfies the Father, it satisfies us. And he'll get the job done. Notice number two. See, the blood of Christ works Godward. Now notice secondly, the blood works manward. Since the blood of Christ has satisfied God, it must also satisfy us. I done said that. Access to God has two phases. And both are ordained or obtained the same way. Number one, initial access. Bible says in Ephesians 2:13, we were afar off, but made nigh by what? The blood of Christ.
Amen.
The initial access to God was by the blood. We were afar off, but by the blood made nigh, we can draw near and have a relationship with God.
Amen.
The initial access to God is through the blood of Christ. Then the daily access to God. Because we've had the initial access to God, we've accepted Christ by faith and the blood was applied. Now we have a daily access. Hebrews 10:19, the Bible says we have boldness to enter into the holiest by what? The blood of Jesus. That's right. Our own self doesn't give us access to the throne of grace.
Right.
Folks, if I had to come before the Lord on my own, whew.
That's right.
That's why, you listen to me, when you begin your prayers and you end your prayers, you better say, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You have no access within yourself.
That's right. That's right.
We have to approach God in His name through His blood. And we can anytime we want to. And the more the better. Pray without ceasing is what the Lord said. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. But it's by His blood. It's by the blood of Christ that we can do that. Brother Milton Taylor, he called me one day. Kelly was very low. And he called me, and we were there. Brother Turner, Milton Taylor. I started saying, brother, you ain't got to tell me who you are. I know who you are. And he said, I called to pray with you. I went outside. I said, have at it. And he prayed probably 12, 15 minutes. And the first 5 minutes was praising the Lord.
Amen.
Recognizing Jesus. You're precious. You're precious. Your precious blood. He'd quote two or three verses, you know. Whew. Our Father, our God, in the name of Jesus, through His precious blood, I pray. That's how He's praying. Man, I got goosebumps a hog could buy. He began to interceding for Kelly and Thomas and us. Whew. I felt like I was in another world. But that man got a hold of God because he knew the only way to do it was through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Through the blood of Jesus. Brother Aldridge was preaching at that meeting the other night, and he said he had to run by the church over at Connesty, and Brother Milton Taylor lives across the street from the church. And he said he was headed to preach a meeting, and Brother Milton Taylor was out in the yard with a chainsaw cutting wood. That's his release, cutting wood. He said he pulled down in there and said, "Preacher, I'm going to a meeting. Will you pray for me?" He said he stuck his head in the window. Same thing. Prayed. But he knows what we know. We have access to the throne room of grace through the blood of Christ. No other way but through the blood of Jesus. Notice this last thing. First, the blood of Christ works Godward. Secondly, the blood of Christ works manward. Now here's a good one. Thirdly, the blood of Christ works Satanward. I didn't preach this, but go into chapter 12, verse number 10. What I talked about in Job, Satan's activity is that of accusing the brethren. Revelation 12, verse number 10. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of their brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." You don't think your name comes up in heaven? The only way, and I didn't say something about this, the only way to defeat the devil is through God and the blood of Christ. Applied to our hearts, when we have the blood of Christ applied, when we get saved, God is on our side.
Amen.
Get a hold of that one. God is on our side. Whew. I know I've told this story before. I don't know when the last time I told it here. Could have been last Sunday. If your memory's like mine, you won't remember it either. It's like the old bully went up to a little fella. I think he might have bumped him in the hallway, and he said, "I'm going to whip you out of school. I'm going to get you in the play, at the playground. I'm going to get you." Little boy worried all day. Ruined his day. Ruined it. All he was thinking about, man, this big bully is bigger than me, stronger than me, more powerful than me. I can't handle him. And sure enough, school was out. He had to walk through the playground up a hill to go home. And sure enough, there that bully was, big old boy. "Getting you, I'm going to get you." The little boy said, "All I know to do is just walk up to him and close my eyes and wait on the pounding." And he said, he sat there and waited, and he waited, and he waited. And finally he opened up an eye, opened up another eye. Old boy was gone. He wasn't there. And when he turned around to go home, up that hill he looked, and there was his big brother. He couldn't handle the bully, but his big brother could, and the bully knew it. So when he's about to pounce on this little boy, he happened to look up and seen. If I put my hands on him, he's coming down here. He's coming down. Folks, if the devil could, he'd devour every one of us tonight. He'd kill us. He'd burn our houses down. Folks, if you don't think you have a hedge about you because of the blood of Christ,
yes.
Satan even said, "Lord, I'd love to pounce on Job, but you've got a hedge about it.
Yeah.
You've got to be protected." You know what Satan says? "You're all powerful, not me."
That's right.
"You're God, not me. Job's yours, not mine."
That's right.
Whoop.
Amen.
The only way we can defeat him is through the blood of Jesus.
Right.
The The blood of Christ, I've quoted this verse, I didn't quote it every service, offers a continual cleansing for the child of God. We quoted 1 John 1:7, cleanseth us from all sin, the blood of Jesus. That's a present indicative active. It's something that's happening while the speaker is speaking. In other words, while we're preaching and while I'm preaching, you're listening, the blood's cleansing us.
Amen.
You go to bed tonight, the blood's cleansing you.
Amen.
Get up, go to work in the morning, the blood's cleansing you.
Amen.
Preacher, I don't know why. Why should I even live for God? Why should, because he's keeping you clean, that's why.
Amen.
He washed your sin away and he's keeping you that way every day. And a thing the devil can do about it.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Not one thing.
Amen.
Not one thing can he do to change that truth. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus?
Yes.
Amen. Let's all stand. As Courtney's coming.